Thank you, Dr. Song. And now our next presentation is acceptability of the human papillomavirus vaccine among adolescent male. Nicely, after the theoretical explanation,
right?
Something, yes. Our presenter is, again, going to talk about Amy Leader, Dr. Amy Leader. She will talk about the collaboration that they had. And Dr. Leader is an assistant professor in the Division of Population Science, Department of Medical Oncology, at Thomas Jefferson University, and an adjunct assistant professor at the UMD and Jay School of Public Health in New Jersey, Department of Health Education and Behavioral Science. She is the co-investigator on an HPV vaccine acceptance study in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, funded by the Pennsylvania State Department of Health, and principal investigator of a study about HPV vaccination for adolescent males in Philadelphia, funded by the American Cancer Society.
Thank you.
Please.
Are we down arrows? Is what we're
yes, this
down
is your presentation.
Okay.
And
down arrows. Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming today. Happy Halloween. My disclosure statement is that I have nothing to disclose. I'll just give you a quick background on the human papillomavirus. It's been in the news a lot lately, particularly with males in the past week, but just a quick overview here. It is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. Prevalence and incidence are pretty similar in males and females, but they vary on the population and the risk factors in that population. We know that there are two particular types that are responsible for a large majority of particular cancers in males, particularly anal cancer, penile cancer, and oral cancer. HPV is also known to be the primary cause of genital warts, both in males and females. And it's important to know that while it is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S., that most people will not have any symptoms who do have this infection, and many will clear the virus on their own. But those who do not clear the virus can go on to have genital warts or HPV-related cancers. And this slide has already become outdated since this was uploaded last week. But in 2009, the FDA approved Gardasil for the use of males ages 9 to 26. ACIP, which is the federal group that makes these vaccine recommendations, had initially issued a permissive use recommendation, and last week they bumped that up and made it more of a recommended use in males. So now that males and females are on the same level, and it's recommended now in both males and females. The data for this vaccine has shown persistent reductions in HPV infections among males, so it's known to be effective. It does offer the greatest benefit to both males and females if done before the age of sexual activity. And the common adverse events are very similar to some of the other vaccines that we see as well, pain, moderate, mild intensity, things like that. So it's relatively safe and effective. Most of the literature to date has been, particularly in the male population, has been among older males, those maybe 18 and older, 21 and older, typically adult males. And through that literature review, we know that knowledge up until, I would say, fairly recently among males about HPV itself and the vaccine has been quite low. What they do know is that they tend to think of it as the female vaccine or the cervical cancer vaccine. They're not aware that it is something that is available to them or would be of use for them. However, when you do educate them briefly about the vaccine, you give them a little descriptive paragraph, you explain what it is, you explain what HPV is, acceptability is generally quite high. They're interested in this vaccine. Attitudes are generally favorable. They see it as something being good for them, safe for them, a wise decision, things like that. And in older males, we know that correlates of vaccine acceptance are very similar to what we see in females. Those who are more interested in getting the vaccine tend to have a higher number of sexual partners, which also goes along with risk perception as well. They tend to know a little bit more. They might be a little bit more aware of HPV and the vaccine. They might know a female who's received the vaccine. Those who have had some kind of STD testing in the past, risk perceptions I mentioned, or just a general desire to prevent genital warts or maintain good health, or they have sort of this attitude of protection. Bless you. So what we do know about adolescent males and vaccination is we know that among adolescent populations, that African-American adolescents are at highest risk for not being vaccinated for a host of vaccines that are eligible to them. We know that there's structural barriers, access issues, things like that, just the ability to get into these appointments to be there for them. Their attendance at preventive care appointments for adolescents among African males tends to be low. They're not aware that they need these kinds of vaccines, but it doesn't quite understand the whole problem there. And there may be some patient factors that explain some of it in terms of awareness or health beliefs or distrust of the medical establishment or what they've been brought up in their community to believe about vaccines. And so we focused in our study here is on African American adolescent males. We wanted to work with a group of adolescent males in Center City and inner city Philadelphia that may have a low resource community, an underserved community. This is a community that is at increased risk for HPV. They're eligible to get their vaccine. A lot of them are making health decisions on their own, for lack of just a parent being in the house to help them guide them through these processes. So we focused in on African-American adolescent males in an inner-city environment. And we had some specific aims here. One, obviously, to develop our study materials. We conducted 10 focus groups with adolescent males ages 13 to 18. And then we looked to identify some relevant factors in their decision-making process, or what do they need to know about the vaccine, or how could they make that decision on their own, or how would they involve a parent, or how would that happen? This project was based on the theory of planned behavior, which posits that things like attitudes and subjective norms and perceived behavioral control are the greatest influences of behavioral intentions, and behavioral intentions then lead to behavior. So we focused and we developed a lot of our focus guide script around some of these key concepts in the model. We had our focus group guide, our content areas. We started out with some general adolescent male health questions. Then we talked about sexually transmitted infections. We talked about HPV more specifically. Then we talked about general vaccines. What do you know about them? Have you ever gotten them? What's that been like? Then we focused in on the HPV vaccine. Then we talked about decision-making in general, about health issues. Who's making those decisions? How are you making them? And then specifically about HPV vaccine. And then we talked lastly about reaching out to their particular community. If you wanted to know more information about this vaccine, where would be a good place for us as public health professionals to put that information, or where would you find it? We also had a basic questionnaire at the beginning. We didn't really want to overburden them. They were as young as 13, but we had a very simple questionnaire to collect some information on these topics here that you see. We conducted our focus groups. We had, as I said, 10 focus groups. They were moderated by 4 MPH level males. We felt it was really important to have males moderating these focus groups rather than someone like myself. We thought we would get more better responses from them if they didn't know I was behind all this. We had a community-based recruitment strategy, meaning we met them at rec centers. We have good relationships with places like public housing units in Philadelphia, lots of the nonprofits in places in Philadelphia, things like that. And we conducted those focus groups exactly in those neighborhood settings. So we conducted them in the common room of their public housing unit, or we conducted them in the rec center after they came in from football practice that afternoon, and we had lots of pizza. And our, like I said, we chose neighborhoods that were predominantly low-income African-American residents, and we did compensate them, in addition to all that pizza, with some time and travel. At the time that I was working on this, we now have more adolescent males in our sample, but at the time I submitted this abstract, we had 69, had gone through our focus groups at that time. The mean age was about 16 or so, about 83. Now it's about 88 or so percent are African-American, predominantly African-American. And then there's their educational level here. Some are in high school, some are still in junior high school. 84% have ever had sex, and 91% have reported that their friends have had sex. So it's a pretty sexually active group of young adolescent males. We asked these on the questionnaire, so this is before we were able to explain anything about HPV in the focus groups. We said, have you ever heard of this? And only about 18% had ever heard of it, and about 23% had heard of the vaccine. And only about 5% knew of someone, either male or female, most likely female, who had gotten the vaccine at the time. So from the focus groups, we started out asking them about health issues. We asked them to just name sexually transmitted infections, and they named everything from HIV, chlamydia, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, and no one mentioned HPV, even though it's the most common one. They talked about peer pressure. That seems to be a really big issue for them. Even though we asked about sex, they so quickly talked about smoking and things like this and peer pressure. They're worried about contracting STIs, but they don't know how to talk to their health partners about this stuff, and so they just act. Unprotected sex is very common among them. They are a high-risk population. They're exposed to these public health messages in school, and there are school health centers and things like that, but they're just generally unresponsive to them. I think they're just, some of them say they're oversaturated with them. We hear them all the time. We just don't listen anymore. In our focus groups as well, like I did mention, we talked about knowledge and awareness of HPV is low. The large majority aren't aware that this is the most common STI. They don't understand the links between the cancers and things like that. For those of them who have heard of it, a lot of them through media, through the Gardasil commercials, the jump rope commercials they would refer to them to, but they thought it was a female-based vaccine, didn't realize it was for them. And our focus group discussions, interactions, often led to lots of questions from them. Even though we were there to generate responses from them, lots and lots of questions were answered. So we made sure that our moderators were well-trained in answering a wide variety of questions, because it just opened the door to a plethora of questions among them. So some of the things that they said in the focus groups about HPV, I hadn't heard about it until I came here today. I mean, I heard of it once in school from a health teacher, but that's about it. I don't know what it is. One of the boys said, the scary thing is you wouldn't even know if a girl had it. It's like you can't judge a book by its cover. Lack of knowledge. Someone came up to me and said, hey, I have HPV. I would have been like, okay, I don't know what that is, but okay. Then I'd go look it up. So they were very honest when they talked to us about not knowing anything about it, but being relatively curious once they heard more about it. In terms of getting vaccines, this group of adolescents, even though they literature says they have a low vaccination rate in general, they were quite accustomed to getting their vaccines. A lot of them get them through sports. If you want to participate in sports, you have to be up to date and current on recommendations. So we were hitting that population, I think. They generally think they're for prevention. Some actually think that you get a vaccine once you have the STI, then you go get the vaccine. So we tried to clear that up a lot. They have a lot of questions about side effects. They think it's going to hurt. I mean, they have tattoos up and down their arms, but they're worried about a vaccine, so because they think it'll hurt. So, you know, we tried to talk about that a little bit and explain that it would be okay. But in general, once we had these nice discussions about HPV vaccine, they did think it was a good idea. They thought it was easy to do. It was safe. It would be wise, all those general attitudes questions. Some of their little snippets of ideas, any shot that's helpful, you should get it. It reduces your risk. If you get the vaccine, there'll be a stronger chance of you fighting it from the beginning. It's like when people go to war, you just don't go by yourself. It will be better, my chance of protecting myself, if I get the vaccine. But I have to know all the facts about it. And that would come out every once in a while from these guys. We asked some questions about decision making. Who makes decisions about your health and how are you making those? And we asked them what kinds of things would they want to know when they were going to make a decision, not only in general but about this vaccine. And they mentioned things like they really would want to understand it. They would factor in their own personal risk level. They want to know a little bit more about the vaccine, like how often do you have to get it, and do you have to keep coming back, and do you need boosters, and all those kinds of, they're pretty savvy about those kinds of things. And they were mostly concerned about attitudes about mom or grandmother. We ask them about dad and things like that, and not really. Partners, not so much. Their partners aren't stable. They have different partners every day of the week, so it was pretty much mom. Mom was a strong influencer. Some of their statements about decision making, well, it depends on what kind of a person you are. If you're a free spirit and you sleep with everybody, then it's a good idea to get it. But if you're more introverted, then maybe wait. So a person was taking in their own little risk perception. They were making their own judgment about risk. This one said, I would go insane if I tried to get a vaccine for everything. Like, oh my God, I just had sex. Let me pull up my checklist and get a vaccine. So a little bit, you know, overwhelmed with this idea of, you know, oh my gosh, one more thing I have to do. I don't know if I would talk to my mother, because if your mom finds out that you're sexually active, it's for a sexually transmitted disease. Well, I don't know about that. So, you know, there were qualms. So you hear just the same things in the females as well. Well, you know, my mom might think it's for sex. So that carried over into the males as well. And lastly, we asked them about where would you want to find more information. They all wanted more information. We had prepared little booklets for them to take home about HPV, because we knew that they wouldn't know much. And they actually wanted like 2 and 3 and 4 copies each to take home to give to a brother or a sister or a mom or things like that. So we had to get more of those printed for them. They wanted things in public places, basketball courts, city health clinics. SEPTA is our transit agency. They wanted billboards and things like that. They thought this was like, they were really shocked that this was very, you know, the most common STI, and they didn't know about it. You know, we need to get the word out a little bit. Larger word, more widespread campaigns. They didn't know about statistics. They didn't really get the statistics. They wanted to hear personal stories. Some of them said, well, you know, if Lady Gaga told me to get it, I would get it. I'd get that vaccine. So, you know, skip the statistics. That doesn't resonate with this age group. But Lady Gaga would be great. Personalizing the message may be effective. Finding someone who has HPV and is willing to give a testimonial, some big guy or a basketball player, or find a football player, if we could find one who is willing to admit that they have it, that would be stronger for them than a statistics message. Use the general health centers because people go there. Show a perfectly healthy person who has HPV and be like, hey, I have HPV. I look fine. Do you have HPV? So that was the kind of stuff that resonated with these boys. I think the most effective would be to have a celebrity. If it's sponsored by a celebrity and they're talking about it, a lot of people would start thinking about it. Some last thoughts. HPV knowledge is low. There is interest in this vaccine when they're educated about it. They don't know anything about it, but they want to know more. They are still concerned about side effects, but it was a little bit hard to gauge about how serious they were about that. More just about will it hurt or will I pass out, that kind of stuff. They did take into their own risk when trying to think about whether or not they would get that, which I thought was promising. It seems to be a nicely educated way to make decisions about health. mom was very important. And community-based approaches may be better with this population than like directly from a provider, because they tend to be out in the community and less having those one-on-one provider interactions. And these were our moderators and little helpers at the end. The last two girls helped me on the inside. The four guys were our moderators, and then my home institution and the American Cancer Society. That's it. Thanks.